This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Ken Klein, who's a fascinating individual. The professional football player, a scholar, writer, traveler, a video producer, and, well, so much more. Ken, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
It's been a while, Stan. It's good to be back with you. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, I appreciate so much of your work you've done. And Ken has written a wonderful book on prophecy. And we don't ordinarily get too much into prophecy here, but his explanation of some of the descriptions and the revelation are really amazing, and it really helps to sort of tie so much of what has been prophesied 2,000 years ago there on the island of Patmos into events that are transpiring today. But I'm really going to let Ken sort of pick up and run with the ball, because he has so much to tell us, and he's been over a number of times to the Holy Land with Noah Hutchings of Southwest Radio Church, our good friend, and put together video productions, a lot of great video productions, and I'll let him tell you a lot more about all of those things. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, what I'm really amazed at lately is how quickly the whole issue of terrorism and the borders are pushing us towards a national identification system that is the most sophisticated technology the world has ever known. And I was just kind of tracking this recently. This all ties into, of course, my book and my films. But I just did a little research on this company that has produced this thing called Digital Angel. It's a NASDAQ-traded company, and it has finally unveiled its long-touted and highly controversial chip. It's a subdermal microchip implant designed not merely for keeping tabs on pets, but for widespread worldwide use in tracking human beings.
And that's how we're going to force Americans to take this in the name of fighting terrorism.
Now, this was written, Stan, in it just came out in the year 2000. It was published by WorldNet Daily, and then in 2001. That was a little reading I wrote from the year 2000. Now, Digital Angel, this is in 2001, is no longer pursuing implant technology for humans. A spokesman for the company said yesterday. Dr. Lawrence Weber of Digital Angel Corp., a wholly owned subsidiary of Applied Digital Solutions, told WorldNet Daily the company has no plan at this time for implant technology. That was in the year 2001. And now I want you to read here what happened just this April, the 24th. And this is now 4 years after that statement that they're no longer pursuing that. Today I learned... This is from Thomas Horn, newswithviews.com. Today I learned that Madras High School in the little town of Madras, Oregon, that's in my state, is the latest government institution to allow students to pay for their lunch with the swipe of a hand. Only yesterday, in a related event, Chief of Police Jack Schmedig of Bergen County, New Jersey, a member of the police force for over 30 years, received a VeriChip implant as part of an Applied Digital Solutions strategy of enlisting key regional leaders to accelerate adoption of its product. 4 years later, all of a sudden, They're back on board. Now, when you
hold
go
that,
to the...
Hold that thought for just a moment, and we're going to have to bring some of our stations on and lose some of our stations, but we'll be right back with Ken Klein. And believe me, what they're doing is saying one thing, doing another, because soon we'll all have a chip. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, if you go to the VeriChip site, they talk about all the different applications, and if you read through the site, and people should go there and read about this site, it's adsx.com, www.ad, S as in dog, S as in Sam, X as in xylophone.com. Go there and look at it. When you read through it and you get to the last application, it's really interesting. An implantable 12 millimeter by 2.1 millimeter radio frequency device, VeriChip, is about the size of the point of a typical ballpoint pen. It contains a unique verification number. Utilizing an external scanner, radio frequency energy passes through the skin, So they're telling you it's for human use, energizing the dominant VeriChip, which then emits a radio frequency signal containing the verification number. So the idea is that there's two kinds of chips. There's a chip that emits a radio frequency, and then there's a passive chip that has indefinite lifespan that is activated by an external device that causes it to emit a signal. And that's the one they're talking about here. But the point is, in the year 2000, they came out saying that they had this. Then in 2001, they disclaimed it was for human use. Now it's already being used. And when you get to the VeriChip Corporation site, they tell you it's for human use, even though they try to make it look like, and they cloud the truth by what they're saying in all these other applications. They get down to it. It's to be placed under the skin. And the point is that with the whole threat of terrorism, all it's going to take is some kind of terrible event to bring about now the willfulness of the American people to accept some kind of identity capacity that is able to monitor a human activity. And this whole thing that's going on in the borders now with these folks that are going down there to police the borders is really an amazing event, because the whole issue of Homeland Security's fiasco is going to be the catalyst that allows for something like this to happen. And when you stop to think about why is the government, it just seems so obvious that something has to be done on the borders, and yet they, whether it's a Democratic side or the Republican side, it seems like they want to tie their hands and do nothing. And under the excuse that cheap labor is good for the American economy. But cheap labor is very, very expensive when you stop to think about what it costs us for these illegals coming over here. I was making a film. In fact, the film we're going to make, one of the films that we're offering tonight, Terrorism, America's Response, we're giving it away when people get our package. It's part of the package. It's free when you get the package. I was filming it down in Southern California, and I went to my cameraman's house, and his dog bit me. He had a pit bull, and I got bit in the hand. I had to go to the hospital in Hemet, California, and I got two shots. I got two shots at the emergency room.
Hold that thought there just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Ken is certainly pointing out that the government is doing absolutely nothing about the massive immigration across our border to create a problem that one of these days will be used to justify having every American take a chip. And if you don't think this is coming, why? Well, I'm going to let Ken pick up on the story there. But believe me, he actually gave a website, and I think everybody should go there. It's www.ADSX, is that right?
That's correct.
ADSX.com. This is the site where, of course, the chip, VeriChip, is there. And believe me, they plan for a long time to insert these into everybody. They're simply lying to you when they tell you that they're not planning on doing it. It's already being done up in Oregon. In fact, Tom Horn has written about this on the WorldNet Daily. And Tom will be our guest, hopefully, before long. He's an old friend. He's written a couple of books that we actually carry. Spiritual warfare and the gods that walk among us. He's well aware of the spiritual battle we talk about so frequently. And up in Oregon, in one of the schools, why the children don't have to pay when they go through the line, when they buy their lunch, why they just scan their wrists if they already have the chips in place. And of course, this is what's planned for every American. And these things were prophesied 2,000 years ago. But Ken, talking about getting bit by a pit bull, going to the hospital, and go ahead, Ken.
I go get two shots at the Hemet Emergency Room Hospital, Hemet, and I get the bill, $915 for two shops, it shouldn't cost more than $30 to $50. You go, well, what was going on there? The whole room was filled with Mexicans because the illegals come over here. You talk about the health care problem we have, and they use our emergency rooms, and the end result is they don't pay. And so who pays is the people that have to pay higher premiums to afford health, and they can't afford it. That's why we're not 60 to 70% of Americans do not have health insurance. This is the reason why, because illegals coming over are using for their primary care emergency rooms in hospitals, and it's causing our policies and the premiums on our policies to go through the roof. You know, the Democrats want to have health care for everybody, which is a socialized bandage for the hemorrhaging going on in the system simply because the borders are unprotected. And this whole issue is going to be the main battlefront, the main battlefront for the next election will be the borders. And it's going to be in the news continuously because this whole issue is going to be what is the trigger when the terrorism strikes because of the unprotected borders. That's going to trigger the whole move towards a national identity system that will be sophisticated radio frequency identification chip that, by the way, doesn't have to be scanned the way you go through the supermarkets anymore, because the frequency is just simply picked up by the receiver. And it's the most sophisticated technology we have today. And this is what is coming, and it's coming very fast. And, of course, this is what I have written about for many years and talked about for many years, and now with terrorism on the forefront and in the news every day, it's right at our doorsteps, and it's only one or two or three major events in this country that's going to trigger this whole new identity system, and it goes to the whole prophetic issue of Revelation 13, which is what my book is all about.
All right, fine. And so, of course, Ken's right, the book, but you never did send me the copy of the book you're going to.
Oh, I didn't get that off to you, Stan.
Never did. So
well, you had the. It's an updated version.
Right. Of course,
we
have the original
one. So it's just been updated, and I apologize for that. But I will send you one. It's part of the package that we're making available. It's our book called America, Globalism, and the False Prophet. It comes with a film called Cracking the Prophetic Code, which is the film version of the book. And then we also are making available this. In that package, it's free when you get the package, Terrorism, America's Response, Why Terrorism is Inevitable, How the Muslims Are Training Their Children. We even are in the camps where they were being trained. We have films of it. We have testimony interviews with young Muslim kids wanting to destroy America and why it's inevitable and what you must do to prepare for it. And in that package also, we have an advisory on how to protect yourself from identity theft, which is another reason why they're going to impose upon us a national security system. In fact, they even boast about it on that site I gave you, how it's going to aid in cutting back on identity theft, which is a $50 billion a year industry. One in five people in America will have their identity stolen this year.
And I think, Ken, we should point out, isn't it amazing that all of these big companies just accidentally lose or turn over or publish all of this personal information on us? It's all just a mistake. We want to know, everybody to know, why we would never allow this to happen. What they want is to create the problem and the solution to the problem, whether it be of immigration, whether it be of terrorism, whether it be of identity theft. A theft is why we're all going to have to take a chip. It's the only way to protect ourselves.
That's exactly right. And this is the way the people that are in power go about. They create the problem, and then they have the answer. And this is how they keep themselves in power. And then we become more of the slaves that we already are.
But, of course, behind this whole thing and everything going on are these spirits and forces, which these people, whether they know it or not, are serving.
Well, yeah, and this is what I write about in my book. These forces have been in motion for thousands of years. They're not something that has just sprung up in the United States. You can go back through human history and track how this has occurred. I take you in my book and in my film, which, by the way, tells you how America fits into biblical prophecy. We are in the Bible. It's never been decoded before. People have thought, well, America is Mystery Babylon. Not so. America is in the Bible in symbolic language in Revelation 13 dealing with the second beast, and I identify it in that, and it's a remarkable revelation. Praise the Lord for the revelation. But I show how this is, has developed. It has evolved over thousands of years, going back to the Egyptian Empire, through the Assyrian Empire, all the way up to the Greek, the Romans, and then down through time, all the way up to the British Empire, and how banking has become the instrumentation for how to oppress the world under debt. And I show you how all of this takes place over the millennium. It's incredible. People must have this book, because most of us cannot see past our nose. We do not have what I call a long-range vision. We're not farsighted in how we view things. We just basically understand the world within the context of our own lifespan or within our own culture. But we need to see life from a historical and prophetic view, and that's what we do in this book and this film. And I hope people get it, because it will certainly help you see what is going on.
All right, fine. Well, pick up the story from there. I watched the video. It's fascinating, because I remember reading the book before. And, of course, by the time you get all of these prophetic figures, the beast with the seven heads or seven horns or ten horns, it all begins to sort of run into one another, unless there's somebody to guide you through it. And you do a magnificent job of that.
Well, it took many years, Stan, to study this through and then to express it in a way that was simple. Because you get all of these theories and ideas, and people do get lost in all of this. But the film, in the hour and 20-minute film that I have prepared and put together and produced, people will have a very, very clear understanding of the meaning of all these things. We have diagrams, we have illustrations, we have well, the word I'm trying to think is when you make something into a cutaway, a video formatted illustration, I guess is what you call it. You can see and understand the prophecies very easily. So it's a very important missing piece of the puzzle that will help flesh out the whole understanding of this prophetic landscape that we're living in right now. I mean, it's right in front of us as we live. And coming at us like a freight train through a tunnel, it's unbelievable.
Well, I no question at all. And the fact is, most people, honestly, can't understand why we're not trying to guard our borders, why we're allowing identity theft, why these big corporations, just AOL, just recently admitted just today, oh, shucks, we just lost these files, I don't know, 20 or 30 or 50 million people's identity on there, but it was just an accident. We want you to know it was just an accident. And ladies and gentlemen, these people are not making mistakes unintentionally. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing.
When you look back over history, this is a common way. It's a terrible way to manipulate people. When you go back, I just saw a wonderful documentary on FDR. Did you happen to see that? I think it was about 2 weeks ago.
No, I didn't.
And they did this amazing thing on him, and then they had the next night a documentary on his relationship with Churchill, and how there was a clandestine attempt to get the Japanese to actually attack the United States by cutting off their oil and forcing them to attack the United States, because America was so isolationist because of World War One that to get America to go to war against Hitler, Japan had to be baited into attacking us. And they have secret documents that point to this, to show how FDR allowed for this to happen, to get America involved in the fracas and bring us into a warfare with Europe.
We actually have a four-tape set on that, a two-hour interview with Robert Stinnett, who wrote the book Day of Deceit, an hour interview with John Toland, who had written the book on infamy. So these are part and parcel of this whole background, the documentation. They knew exactly what was going to happen, and they left those boys at Pearl Harbor to die, and they justified it saying, well, we never could have got the American people to go along with the war if it hadn't been for Pearl Harbor.
And they did the same thing with the Lusitania in World War One, with the sinking of our ship. This kind of tactic has been used many times in history to change world feeling. And, you know, the day after Pearl Harbor, I wrote a screenplay on this, by the way. Hopefully it'll get produced. It's called The Ardennes Forest. I'll tell you more about that later. But this is the next day after that Pearl Harbor attack, everybody in America wanted to go fight. It changed them overnight.
But the thing is, the day before Pearl Harbor, there was probably not more than 5% of the American people who wanted to go to war. The day after Pearl Harbor, 95% of the people were willing to go to war. It's almost like what happened on September 11th. before September 11th, nobody wanted to go to war with the Muslim world, and after that, why you could manipulate them into almost anything, why we had to get the wicked Osama bin Laden. But amazingly enough, we've never got the wicked Osama bin Laden. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, go ahead, Ken. We'll just pick up the story from there.
Well, every time we cut away, I think we're going to a commercial.
Well, we are, but of course, part of this goes out to our local people. Part of it goes out to on our internet, and then of course, I will repeat what's said during this 4 minutes period to our listeners out across the country. So don't worry, that'll be good continuity.
Well, you know, my mission, what I'm trying to do with what I think I should do with my life, is to try to get people to get beyond their own small view of life. My mission is to get people to... I feel like I'm an eye doctor, Stan. I feel like, I want to give a laser surgery to people's capability of seeing with their spirit, not just with their head. And so my mission is to help people have to be able to see like a seer. You know, there's a difference between a prophet and a seer. A prophet is someone that sees into the future. A seer is somebody that sees into the future and into the past. And so I'm trying to develop for whoever listens the capability of seeing far off one way into the future and back into the past, so that they get beyond themselves and they're able to transcend their human experience to some degree and see the way God sees, to see with an objective eye and not with the machinations of daily living and being tossed about here and there and being controlled and manipulated. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so I'm trying to put out to whoever listens to me the information in a formatted and documented way, so it's not just some guy spouting off his favorite theories. And that's why it took me so long to put this together, years of footnoting, documenting, study. A clear, concise, and comprehensive understanding of the times in which we live, because we live in perilous times, and yet in the United States it doesn't seem like that, but it is. And so that's why I've created this package that we call America's Place in Prophecy, because most of us don't want to think that somehow we could be fitting into the plans of evil to bring about this global dominionism that's coming upon the whole earth, but we are. And so, if you're interested in getting my package, which is my book, America Globalism, The False Prophet, Cracking the Code Film, The Terrorism Film, which is a 50-minute piece that deals with, how and why terrorism is coming and what to do to prepare for it, and this, radio theft identity, this, RFID, radio frequency identity that's coming as a result of identity theft, advisory on how to defend yourself, and if you're caught up in the terrible problem of having your identity stolen, what to do about it. That advisory alone is worth the price that we're asking for this, which is $29.95. And because it's Stancho, I'm going to pay for the shipping on this, which is normally $7. But if you'll call my number,
okay, go ahead and give it.
My number is 1-800-888-1363. 1-800-888-1363, and the operators are waiting. Remember, the shipping is free. I'll pay for the shipping. I want you to have this. You get four items. And may I mention them again, Stan?
Right, you can.
The book is America, Globalism, and the False Prophet. It's 230 pages. It's fully documented. The film, which is the visual formatted presentation of the book, is called Cracking the Prophetic Code, America's Place in Prophecy. The terrorism film, which is called The Terrorism, America's Response. I filmed it in Southern California and around the world. And my advisory on identity theft, it's all in this package.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Ken. And, well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Ken is talking about this package, and I will tell you, I've read the book, I've seen the video, they are truly outstanding. This is probably the best book I've ever read on prophecy. In fact, I'd read it some time ago, it's been updated since then, but the basic thesis is something that I think everybody who's interested in biblical prophecy would want to have. There's a video, there's a film on terrorism, and then there's another segment on identity theft, and all four of these come together in a package, and I'll let you just mention the price of that, and of course the shipping on that. Go ahead.
Well, if you're going to buy this in a store, Stan, it would cost you about $55. But I'm offering it at almost 50% off at $30, $29.95. And I want the people to have it, so I'm willing to pay the shipping on this as well. So it's about a $60 offer that you're getting at half price, and you can get it by calling 1-800-888-1363, 1-800-888-1363.
And really, I've seen the video, and it's fascinating. Of course, Ken is a very, very convincing talker, and of course, the diagrams that go along with that, and of course, through the medium of video, you really can get the idea. What is really going on? People have spent their whole lives studying the Revelation, trying to make some sense out of it. Ken can make it so clear and so crystal clear. I think you'll be very, very impressed by what he has to offer. But I think it's so obvious. Have you noticed how often you turn on the television, they're talking about identity theft? Why are they talking about identity theft? Are they selling something? Yes, they're selling something. They're selling an idea, implanting in your mind the threat of identity theft, so you're going to go along with the chip when it comes. You see, and how often do you turn on television and there are things there that, you know, they're not going to make any money on this. They're not doing it to make money. They're not going to make any money whether you know on this at all. But they're selling an idea because, of course, everything is directed spiritually along towards this same goal of preparing us for the latter days, for the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been planned going back since the inception of time. And believe me, this whole movement towards world government dates back 5 to 6,000 years. It's worked through secret societies. And today those organizations are here. They control and dominate our media. Next time you see that program on television talking about the threat of identity theft, you say to yourself, how are they going to make a profit on paying for that advertisement? That advertisement's costing them $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 to put on all across America, but they're not making a profit. They're selling an idea. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, you know, the identity thing is really a terrible, identity theft is a terrible thing. If you've ever talked to, I've seen movies on this already, and people talk about, you know, how their lives have been ruined when people surreptitiously steal somebody's identity. And it's frightening what can happen, your credit can be destroyed, you can owe money, you can actually go to jail for other people's crimes. And this is scary stuff, and people are, really, in many ways, if they don't know how to defend themselves and do the right things, they're in trouble. And, in fact, my wife said tonight, when are you going to check your credit to make sure that somebody isn't, you know, you're the guy that put the whole advisory together, why don't you take your own advice? And she rebuked me tonight for not being more, you know, diligent about our own protection. So, in this advisory, and I'm going to do it, by the way, we have 800 numbers that you can call. We have ways to check into your own credit so that you can know if it's being messed with. A number of ways that you can go about protecting yourself by tracking your own behavior and what you do and leave open for thieves to take advantage of you. And so it's a very important thing for people to have to begin to defend themselves, because the alternative is a chip.
No, I think they're really going to find one way or another, especially in the name of fighting terrorism, or even voting, or even buying at the store, because we know the time will come. You know, when you don't have the chip, when you do not have the number or of the beast or be known by the number of his name, you're not going to buy or sell. That's what they've really planned. But they can't tell the American people that. So it's got to be identity theft or convenience or fighting terrorism. All of these things, of course, are the stated goal of purposes, but none of them are the real purpose.
You know, and there's one other thing that we didn't mention that really goes back hundreds of years, and that's the debauchery of currency. Because one of the ways to get people to go along with this whole thing is the destruction of fiat currencies. And a fiat currency is basically a declaration that paper money is good because the fiat or the king says it is. And so we've been watching the debauchery of our dollar for ever since the Federal Reserve System was set up in 1913. We've seen massive inflation occur, which is what people mistakenly think is the increase of prices. It's the increasing of the money supply, which causes prices to rise. So prices rising is the effect, but the cause is printing press money, and all the nations of the world have this problem. And so we're watching a world currency debauchery going on.
Right, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ken Klein. Of course, Ken has been just talking about the debauchery of the currency. In fact, it was Daniel Webster who said, you know, of all the methods for cheating, or all the contrivances for cheating the masses and the working class, none is as effective as the delusion of paper money. Of all the contrivances for cheating the masses of the working class, none is as effective as the delusion of paper money. And paper money gives the delusion that it has value. And, oh my goodness, people have money in the bank. They have annuities. They have bank deposits. They have bonds. They have checking accounts. They have all of these things. They have pension accounts. They really think that they have wealth. But it's all based upon a delusion. So pick up the story there, Ken.
Well, the people that started the delusion were the Rothschilds, who were the Bauer family that got infected most likely by a Jesuit priest named Adam Weishaupt. And they got sucked into most likely the strategy of the Vatican, which is a whole other story, but nonetheless they were called the Illuminati. And they figured out, the Rothschilds figured out how to have a fractional reserve system whereby they could hold back a fraction of the value of a paper dollar, say, you know, an ounce of gold, or a fraction of what a dollar's worth if it was pegged to an ounce of gold, and circulate more bills that were promises of redemption for that gold, and nobody knew what they were doing. They could print unlimited amount of bills for the promise of that gold.
But of course, they've been really banking. It existed in ancient Babylon. It existed down through the years. In fact, the British Central Bank, 1694, long antedated the Rothschilds. Certainly, they came along. In fact, the father of the Rothschilds, but he was born in 1743. So, but anyway, certainly.
Well,
the
that's right. The Bank of England actually was about 1600.
1694 was
William
Patterson.
1694. I knew it was in the 1600s.
Well, the only reason I know is because I'm giving a talk on this. day after tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about the financial deception that has gripped this country. So actually, the William Patterson formed the central bank, the Bank of England, or the Central Bank of England, and but there had been other banks before this, but certainly the Rothschilds do play an important part in banking today. In fact, until recently, for over 100 years, it set the daily price of gold. It's so interesting that the Rothschilds have stopped setting the price of gold.
And that was just recently, wasn't it? In the last 5 years or so, wasn't it?
Right, just actually within the last 2 years. So they know something is going to happen. But, of course, they're protecting themselves. The average individual has no idea what's about to happen, and he's going to be just swept away in the coming financial storm. But we'll be right back here. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, is Ken Klein. Fascinating material that he has. Pick up the story there.
Well, you know, the Bank of England became the model or the template for all the central banks of the world. The only people that I know that are really fighting against are the Arabs, who are now creating what is called the gold dinar, which is what they want to deal with. They don't want to deal with paper currency when it comes to their selling of oil. And so they're actually threatening our banking system, which maybe is a good thing, by refusing to take payment in dollars.
And, of course, the Arabs, the Mohammedan faith, says that usury is immoral. Well, the Bible says usury is immoral. In fact, you know, it was against biblical law for one Jew to lend another Jew money for interest. In fact, it wasn't really accepted in the, you know, in Christendom until the early 1600s when Sir Francis Bacon embraced usury. And of course, if anybody knows Bacon, he was one of the fathers of this whole world occult movement. But pick up the story there.
Well, and then of course, you know, the banking system, the Bank of England system, was imported into the United States through I believe it was Jacob Schiff. It's in my book, but. He, along with agents in this country, conspired to bring about a depression in 1907 and set up the Federal Reserve Act, which came about in 1913, but they had to manipulate the right president into office, which is Woodrow Wilson, who would not veto their bill, and they effectively did that, and it set up the American banking system, which is not really American. It's actually internationalists own the Federal Reserve System, and that's been the American banking system and the lender of last resort. So when we're under budgeted, the government, the United States, goes to the Federal Reserve to borrow, to make up the deficit. And that's why we're in such hock. So, and you know, I've been watching the dollar over the last couple of years. It's fallen dramatically against all the other world currencies and is currently, you know, threatening to go lower. Because of all that we're talking about, the printing and the infusion of massive amounts of capital into the world economic system, which cannot come back out. It's going to cause a worldwide inflationary trend, which is going to cause the dollar to fall and all the other currencies of the world to fall. So we're in the process of watching the destruction of the world fiat money system, which is another reason why we will see the imposition of a coded technology that will replace money as we know it, which will deal with identity theft, terrorism, and the problem with currency all in one stroke.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's only a matter of time before this whole currency system begins to fall apart. In fact, the smart people like Bill Gates and like George Soros and like William Buffett are investing in foreign currencies because they're not going to get wiped out. It's simply that the average American who doesn't understand what fiat money is or had never heard what Daniel Webster warned or has never seen my video, Financial Deception, which will be made in 2 days. And, of course, you cover a lot of that in your own material. I'm sure Ken does in his material. We are on the brink of a financial catastrophe, and the average American has no idea. In fact, he really won't know. He can even be falling. It's not until that sudden stop at the end when, of course, he's suddenly going to wake up and see what's happened.
It's interesting that in the year 2008, I'm 59, and in 2008, I become eligible for Social Security. So in the year 2008, the first of the baby boomers hit retirement. What is that going to do to this system that's teetering and tottering on the brink of disaster already? I don't know how they're holding it together. You got to give them credit for the brilliance they use in manipulating the commodities markets, because they do a great job in maintaining some semblance of stability, but they can only do it for, they can only juggle so many balls for so long. It's going to have some kind of the dam's going to burst soon, Stan.
Well, I think it's so interesting that the president has said what he's going to have to do is cut benefits for the wealthy in Social Security. But it's only going to be for the very wealthy. The poor are still going to get the full Social Security. But why should the wealthy be getting so much in the way of the Social Security benefits now when the poor need it? Well, you remember that's what they did with alternative minimum tax. The alternative minimum tax was how we were going to get those wicked rich people who weren't paying their fair share of taxes. And now we suddenly find that more and more average citizens are coming under the alternative minimum tax. It was never aimed at the very rich. It was always aimed at the middle class. And of course, this is how you wipe out the middle class. They know exactly what they're doing. And when they talk about, of course, they're going to cut back on Social Security for the rich, what they're really talking about is cutting back the Social Security for people like you and me, Ken. They know exactly what they're doing, and they always play this idea, you know, it's the rich guys we've got to get. We've got to stick them. And isn't it amazing that the rich get richer, and they're not even hit many times by the alternative tax. They've got other ways of getting around it through other techniques that they have. But it is all, they play this class warfare so effectively. But the real purpose, of course, will be cut back on Social Security benefits for the vast majority of the American people. But they can't admit that. They can't admit they made promises that they knew could never be paid.
You know, when you talk about the rich and their devices and their genius, they are brilliant and evil. Lyndon Baines Johnson had 121 trusts. What a money laundering scheme. Who needs 121 trusts? He had a trust that was in Belize, that was owned by one in Switzerland, that was owned by one in Panama, that was owned by all over the world. They just moved their money through these mazes and it's almost impossible to track. And
he actually had to borrow money when he went to Washington, D.C. as a congressman. But I'll tell you what, he was one of the finest politicians that money could buy.
Yeah,
well, we've got a couple of people on the line. Let's go to Jeannie, who's calling. Hi, Jeannie, how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to mention the House of Representatives just voted 422-6, and they're going to come out with a brass-plated, colored, it's going to give the illusion that this dollar coin is gold. And so they're putting it out again because they still have a $1 gold coin that's brass-plated, and it never did take on with the American people.
It was Susan Anthony, wasn't it?
No, that was Saka, it's the Indian lady, yeah. And so now this new coin is going to have portraits of presidents of the United States. And so they're going to test us again if we're going to be using this brass-plated gold-colored coin. So it's interesting what they're doing with us. They're playing with us.
They sure are. Absolutely. They're playing with our minds.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people think that the mark of the beast, you know, which is in Revelation 13, is set up by the Antichrist. But that's not really true. It's just bad theology. The mark of the beast is developed by the false prophet. The false prophet is not the beast. The false prophet is a different beast that comes up out of the earth.
Well, do you believe that there's a trinity of evil as there is a trinity of good? In other words, a Satan, an Antichrist, a false prophet, and that there are three beings on the dark side as there are three beings on the light side?
Well, I don't think I believe in a trinity of evil the way you explain it. I think that's kind of a convenient way of saying there's a counter to, you know, what people call the Holy Trinity. You know, Mystery Babylon is certainly an evil. There is going to be a desolator, an Antichrist. There is a beast system that's different than the Antichrist. And there is a false prophet that is not the Antichrist or the beast system.
Right.
It's an entity all of its own. So there's many facets of evil that I wouldn't try to lump into a convenient trilogy of evil. But
right.
The false prophet is the one that calls down fire from heaven, which is clearly world military high technology. It makes an image that speaks, which in the word image there is the word, is not the word idol, it's the word icon, which means, and everybody should know what an icon is now, you click on them on your computer every day. It represents something else. It represents a program. And the third, of course, is the mark of the beast, which is a new money system that is not based upon anything that's been in existence traditionally, like gold and silver or currency. It's a whole new system that we can see coming through this Verichip.
Okay, anything else you want to say there, Jeannie?
No, that's it.
All right,
thank
fine.
You.
Let's go to Roger. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, folks. And Ken, I'm guessing it hasn't totally escaped the cognizance, in spite of all the posturing from that Liars Club in Foggy Bottom, D.C., that there's scarcely an identity theft that takes place that's not connected with someone acquiring the Social Security number. So it wouldn't occur to them, of course, to, say, give 2 years for all the financial institutions, et cetera, which wouldn't cause them any heartache or expense, really, to give them that time to disgorge their databases from the SSI or any of its derivatives.
What's your question then?
And then, in other words, criminalize the retention of the Social Security number for other than Social Security purposes strictly, and say have a wholly separate taxpayer ID number for tax purposes.
Well, but they're not going to do that, Roger. So forget about it. They promised they would never use the Social Security number for anything but Social Security, and they lied, and they always lie. So divest yourself of the idea you're going to come up with a solution. What are your thoughts,
Roger,
Ken?
Hey, Roger, listen, there are things that are in this advisory on how people are, you know, phishing and what they do and where your number is on your can be on your checkbooks and how to defend yourself and how you express your identity in your checking account. There's a lot of things in that advisory that will give you a greater insulation from this whole system. So I hope you get it. I mean, it's a very important piece of work that we've put together to protect people. And if you're caught in that trap, things that you can do to get yourself out of it.
Okay, thanks so very much, Ken and Roger. And one of the callers wants to know what you think about the 1,290th day of Daniel. Do you know what he's speaking of?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's interesting. I did a show in Dallas, and some Jehovah's Witness. It was a Seventh-day Adventist came up and challenged me on the air, and I knew where he was coming from. A lot of people think that those days in Daniel have to do with years, but they were actually days of cleansing, because Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria, who was the king of the north, attacked down into Egypt and was defeated. And on his way back to Syria, he was so ticked off that he took it out on the Jews there in Jerusalem and desecrated the temple. It was called the Abomination of Desolation, and he defiled the sanctuary. And it took the Maccabees all of those days to cleanse the temple. And that's what I believe that's relating to. But a lot of people think that the Seventh-day Adventists believe that those days are years, and those years were completed of the cleansing of a heavenly temple. But I don't believe that's what that means.
No,
there will be a second Abomination of Desolation. I believe it began in 70 A.D. by the Romans, and then it was advanced by the Muslims when they put the Dome of the Rock up there on Mount Moriah, and to this day it's still there 1,300 years later. And there will be a desolator who will have incredible brain power that brings the world into bondage to all of these technical systems that we're talking about.
Well, I believe you're absolutely right there. Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Missouri. Jim, did you have a question?
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Hey, Jim, speak up. I can't hear you.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a minute.
Okay, just a minute. That's all we're giving you.
I agree with all the prophecy and revelation and the tribulation, all the rest of it.
Okay.
But my question is, say they come out tomorrow and say, okay, you have to have these chips. It seems like, and I realize this could come up at any moment, but it seems like at this point, there's no spiritual component to this from their side.
Why do you say there's no spiritual component? There's a spiritual component to everything, Jim.
I just mean in terms of they haven't said, you know, you have to take the chip and swear allegiance to whoever it might be.
All right, so you're saying that all they want you to do is take the chip.
Exactly.
All right, fine. So what's the point?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
All right, fine. What are your thoughts on that, Kim?
Similar to the...
Well, you know, look, here's the thing that you got to watch. I don't think Satan's going to step on the scene in a man and take a bow saying, guess what, I'm the Antichrist. You know, I don't think it's going to happen like that bluntly. At the beginning of the show, Jim, I mentioned how this company came out in the year 2000... took a bow and says, guess what, we created this, and the year later disclaimed that they were setting up for human consumption. 4 years later, they're boasting about it. I mean, the whole world is spiritual.
Right. Oh, I understand.
I mean, we live, listen, this is really important. In James, just read it today, it says, it talks about in James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Well, on this planet, this is a shadow world. This world is a world of delusion. It's a world of shadows. It's a world of manipulation. It's not the reality. The real reality is an unseen world, which is totally spiritual, and that unseen world affects everything in the shadow world. So to say that it's not spiritual, it doesn't have a spiritual component, shows that you don't really have an understanding of the spiritual world. It's a lot bigger than you think, and it's a lot more powerful than you think. And this is what the whole dimension of faith is about. Faith isn't a creed. Faith is actually light in you, the light in you. And what God's trying to do in all of us is turn up the light so that we can see better. That's why I'm talking about all these things, to give you more light to see. So the world really is spiritual, even though there aren't people that are saying, ah, ha, ha, you know, we're getting this to screw everybody. They're not going to come up and say that, and neither do most of the people involved in it even know what's going on themselves.
And I think, Jim, of course, the whole financial system has a spiritual component to it. The military system has a spiritual component to it. Our education has a spiritual component to it. But people don't recognize it. So, anything else you want to say?
That answers my question.
Okay.
So you're thinking that this might be, there might be other forces at work also that we haven't seen yet.
Well, if you listen to our program,
there are forces in the unseen world that operate on people in positions of, they operate on everybody, and we don't even, we can't even detect how sinister and how sly they are, that work on every person,
right,
every day.
Amen to that. Hey, we're running out of time. Thanks so much.
Thank
Jim.
Thank you so much.
And let's go, let's get your telephone number out while we still have all of our people listening across America. Let's get that telephone number out if they'd like to get your special offer.
Oh, listen, and if you want to come to my website, I'm going to be publishing every week an essay. I just did an essay on faith that will come out in 2 days. We are going to have a bi-monthly newsletter that comes out that you can access for free. It'll keep you up to speed with this stuff. It's www.kenkleinproductions.net. And when you go there, you'll see all of my films. I got lots of films. But there's a place called New City News. And you click on that, and you'll start going there, visiting, and you'll get my newsletters absolutely free. I want you to come and be fed. I want to feed you. I want to feed you ongoingly. It's my commitment to you. My 800 number, if you want this package, 1-800-888-1363. And you're going to get four items. You're going to get my book. It's 230 pages, America, Globalism, the False Prophet. You're going to get my Cracking the Code film. It's an hour and 20 minutes. You're going to get Terrorism, America's Response, is a 50-minute film on how to defend yourself against terrorism, why it's coming. And lastly, you're going to have my Identity Theft Advisory. It's $30. I'm paying for the shipping.
Oh,
call my
number,
1-800-888-1363.
All right, fine. One more time.
1-800-888-1363.
Okay, hang on for just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Ken Klein, and Roger is calling us from Henderson, Nevada. Hi, Roger. Have a question or comment?
Yes, I just want to notify you guys. I got a copy of this, and I hope you guys can get it from your representative of the state of California. It's called H.R. 25, and it's to promote freedom, fairness, and economic opportunity by repealing income tax, and other tax abolition, Internal Revenue Service, and also enacting national sales tax to be administered primarily by states. I've written over this, and this bill, it's about 60 pages long, and it's out to destroy the way people buy and sell things. What they want to do, like the first year, be like 23%, that's where your state sales tax in California is. They add that on top of it, people won't be able to buy or do anything.
Okay, and that's absolutely right. And, of course, they're going to try to sell it in the name of doing away with income tax. We're going to end up with both. But thanks so much, Roger. Let's go to Dan calling. Dan, do you have a quick comment? We're just about out of time.
Well, I do. I just wanted to say, right now in front of Congress, they are debating, and they're not even debating it. They're going to pass a driver's license requirement on a federal level that will apply to all states. And it's attached to a defense bill that has something to do with tsunami relief and defense supplemental. It's just an off-the-wall kind of a bill.
Yeah, do you know anything at all about that, Ken?
It was on the news tonight. I didn't hear the second part of it being attached to all that stuff, but I think it's a ruse, honestly. I think this is just a kind of like a head fake, because what's coming is going to be a chip. This other stuff is superfluous, actually. I don't think there's anything dangerous with it, except it's a step in the wrong direction, but I honestly don't think it'll ever happen. I think we're going to have terrorism that's going to necessitate something a little bit more aggressive than that.
So I think that this is a first step towards a national ID card, but I think eventually we'll go to a chip, Dan.
So, it does look that way, but, you know, why make it easy, you know what I'm saying? Call your congressman and complain.
Oh, I do, and I think that's a great idea. The important thing, Dan, is we have to educate people, and maybe they're only going to be interested in these other issues, but hopefully, eventually, they're going to be able to connect the dots and understand what Ken is talking about, what we keep preaching about night after night after night. And that is that we're involved in a spiritual battle.
It is.
Behind everything going on are these dark spiritual forces that have been around here since the beginning of time.
That is, unfortunately, is the case.
God bless you, Dan. Thanks so much. And Ken, it's always a pleasure having you on. I hope we can get you onto our other programs and, of course, get this information out. And I hope people will watch that video. You're a great spokesman. You have a wonderful way about you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I've got another film we can talk about maybe another time. It's about mystery called In the Shadow of Babylon. Maybe we can come back later and we can talk about that.
We'll look forward to it. And thanks very much for being
here. Thanks for having me on.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty.
And, of course,
this is a time when we need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's primarily how we're able to do what we do. And, of course, you can do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that also, if you'd like to get a copy of my March newsletter, which is entitled The Myth of the Two-Party System, pointing out that both political parties are pushing globalism and open borders and the war in Iraq, and each one argues with the other one about how they're the most responsible fiscally and how much they're going to do for the people. How can you be responsible fiscally and provide for everybody? But don't ask the foolish questions. Just understand that the politicians really are concerned about you, and that's why they're going to come up with all these new tax laws to tax the very wealthy and to take the money away from the very wealthy and Social Security, but certainly not from you. If you believe that, of course, why you believe almost anything. So anyway, please give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter. Now, we do hope, if many of you would want to learn more about the war on terrorism, probably the best documentary that we have, a single one, is called Jihad in America. And there you'll see film footage that was shot by the FBI in 1988 and 1989 and 1990, all about the Islamic terrorist movement in America. But they had to suppress that film. It was shown one time on PBS in 1994, and then subsequently totally suppressed in America, because they couldn't let the American people know that we knew where everyone terrorist was. Ladies and gentlemen, we can read a newspaper from space with our satellites, and you mean to tell me they had no idea where these terrorists were? You mean we could track Muhammad Atta when he went to Spain? We could track Muhammad Atta when he went to Germany, but when he got back here in the United States, we had no idea where he was. They even have pictures of him taking money out of an ATM machine in February of 2001. And believe me, they destroy those tapes unless somebody gives orders that those tapes are to be saved, because I've talked to the people at the banks. So this is all simply an illusion, a delusion. FBI agents went to David Shippers, who actually had been the counsel for the House committee that had impeached Bill Clinton. He's a Chicago lawyer, but I've talked to David Shippers. FBI agents went to him and said, there's going to be an attack, it's going to be in Lower Manhattan, it's going to be, you know, the end of August, the 1st of September. You know, warn people, get them to do something, they're going to let it happen. And that's exactly what they did. They allowed it to happen. You need to get the book, Timeline for Terror, or our four-tape set, 911 Update, if you really want to understand what this is all about. So the video would be Jihad in America, the long-suppressed video full of FBI footage, and you'll actually hear them interviewing the FBI agents talking about the Islamic terrorism. This was in 1994. They knew all about it. They knew who they were. They were tracking all of these Islamic terrorists. And the question is, well, if they knew who they were and they knew it was going to happen, why didn't they try to stop it? And, of course, they didn't try to stop it, because that's how we got into the war with Iraq. That's how we got into the war with Afghanistan. That is how they're going to justify, and of course, taking away our freedom in the name of fighting terrorism. And if you'd stopped the terrorist movement back in 1988 and 1989, when they knew it was here, why, we wouldn't be in the tragic situation where we are today, where young Islamic men are being trained as terrorists because they hate America. This hatred has been encouraged and created, and the fact that most people don't know this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have this on the line, Debbie Ray, and we're going to be talking about education. Deborah has written a couple of excellent books we carry. One of them is called The ABCs of Globalism. We think it's important because it's simply an alphabetical approach to what's happening today, from a geopolitical and from a spiritual point of view. And if you want to look up Helena Petrovna Blavatsky or Annie Besant or Alice Bailey or any of the things that are going on today, the influence of central banking, the ABCs of Globalism is simply ABCDEFG. And then, of course, Debbie has written another excellent book entitled The ABCs of Culturalism. And these books are simply handy references for you to have on hand so that you can begin to appraise what's going on. And she's done a wonderful job of summarizing it. Keep having it right there at your fingertips. And you want to know who the demonic spirit was who actually channeled messages to Alice Bailey. It's right there. And a different demonic messenger was channeling messages to Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. And so if you're looking up details and some of the things you really need to know for the big picture that is unfolding before us, why, Debbie's got it, done a wonderful job. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
It's always a joy to be with you, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me.
And, of course, you've got a couple of degrees. You've got a degree in theology as well as in education, don't you?
That's correct, and graduate degrees in both fields as well.
So Deborah is really Debbie's one of the really articulate spokesmen on our side. Well, we were going to talk about education, mental health. Why don't you pick up the story from there?
Sure. You know, we started talking a little bit last time I was with you on the issues of mental health. And as you're fully aware, there is a presidential initiative called the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. And it issued a report calling for mandatory mental health screening of American school children. And, of course, then we have millions of kids forced to undergo psychiatric screening. And this is whether or not their parents consent. And, of course, behind this are the federal bureaucrats and pharmaceutical lobbies pushing to sell psychotropic drugs to millions of new customers in our American schools. And I think this whole issue is extremely important when we look at the trends in public education these days.
Now, my understanding is that there's somewhere between around 6 million children already on Ritalin or other psychotropic drugs. Is that a fairly accurate figure, do you think?
I think you're accurate with that. And the late U.S. Senator Sam Hayakawa lamented that the functional task in education today isn't to acquire knowledge of skills, but rather it's therapy. So what we have are children being systematically drugged, and therefore, as you've indicated, millions have become patients in need of a village of professionals.
And of course, the Ritalin is a class 3 drug. It has a profound, permanent psychological impact on children. It uses the same pathways as cocaine and amphetamine-type drugs. And not only that, but it stunts the child's growth and, of course, stunts the growth of their brain. Why would we give it to their children? Well, maybe there's another agenda out there. Did you ever stop and think of that? Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Deborah Ray. Well, Dr. Stan here. Go ahead, Deborah. You were talking about the New Freedom Initiative, and I just love the way that they use these terms, New Freedom Initiative. Oh, doesn't that sound wonderful? And the New Freedom Initiative is going to have mandatory mental health screening. How could you have freedom and mandatory mental health screening? Do you think that they're using those words to confuse the people? Because who could be against freedom on one hand and... but then who could favor mandatory mental health screening, whether the parents want it or not?
That's so correct. And what's interesting is from the humanist perspective in the public sector, children who come into the school having been influenced by their traditional, perhaps Judeo-Christian concepts that they had as youngsters in their family are considered insane. And they have to be... transformed. They have to move out of that mindset. And so the curious thing is that the mental illness is the traditional concept of Judeo-Christian faith, and health is considered safe sex, alternative lifestyles, global citizenship, multiculturalism, use of drugs, and exposure to death and dying.
And don't forget about environmentalism, loving the trees and that spotted owl and at all, and Gaia, of course.
Oh, absolutely, because we are subservient. We are subjected to servitude to Earth, and those of us who hold more traditional views need to be punished and corrected in that.
And that's, of course, why they will not allow the idea of intelligent design in the schools. Oh, no, everything is evolution. I mean, that's scientifically proven. You can't prove evolution. There are more holes in this evolutionary cycle. They keep telling you this being was around here, this animal was around, 600 billion years ago or 600 million years ago. How do they know? Was anybody there? Well, they can tell by the carbon dating. Well, then they use all these things to justify the carbon dating. And if you really get in and study it, why, it's a theory without any justification, and the most important thing is that there is no way to explain anything as complicated as the DNA or certainly the very essence of life itself, unless there is some sort of a master design. Everything is in perfect order, and things are never in perfect order, simply as a matter of chance.
Exactly. I use the analogy in one of my books that it's... a greater leap of faith to believe in evolution, just as it would be for me to think that a wedding cake could be built just by flour and milk and butter and everything just falling together on its own.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking with Deborah Ray about what they're doing with our schools and how, of course, they will not allow the teaching of intelligent design in the schools. Oh, no, we couldn't teach intelligent design. That points to God. No, everything is evolution, and, of course, she was using the example of, well, how ridiculous it would be to believe that you could just put a bunch of flour and some sugar into a big bowl and come up with a beautiful wedding cake. Well, I love the idea of the tornado in the junkyard. And, of course, enough tornadoes and enough junkyards and you build a 747. And, of course, it can't be. There's got to be an intelligent design. It doesn't matter how many little pieces of silicon and metal you put. This is not going to come up with a watch. There has to be an intelligent design. Logic tells you that. What really amazes me is that these people who claim that they're scientists can come up with such ridiculous theories for which there is no scientific basis, although they insist there is. But, of course, they use one false fact to justify another false fact.
Yes, and it's really a youth-centric culture and a youth-centric education system. And the idea is to direct our young people into feeling rather than thinking, into collaborative consciousness, groupthink, rather than individualism and thinking for oneself and logically coming to reasonable conclusions that the skills and the disciplines of education as we have known it from a traditional vantage point, as we have had that in the past. And so the kids are really being robbed of what they should be getting in the school system.
And of course, the trouble is that when our children graduate from high school, I mean, so many of them have to go into bonehead English and bonehead math. But you compare our high school graduates with graduates from other countries, and they do this through scholastic aptitude and scholastic test scores, and we can't even compete with the kids from the rest of the world. That's why they're having to bring in large numbers of engineers and computer scientists from other countries, from India and other, of course, Asian countries, because our kids can't really compete in the fields.
Really, and I have visited with a teacher of the year who has promoted this integrative whole system approach to learning, and she says the school of the future will draw more from the principles of kindergarten than from higher education because it'll be a place where children and adults together follow their bliss.
Now, does she believe in this?
Yes, oh yes, and she says that this is the ideal. She's a New Age author, and I've spent long hours going back and forth with her on these issues, but the fact is our kids place 19th out of 21 nations.
Gee, how did we get that high? I mean, that 19th, we're ahead of two other countries? What are they, you know, Tonga and what?
Yeah, you got that right, and then 16th in science and dead last in physics, so there's nobody worse than we are in physics.
But you know, the thing is that the average American doesn't understand. Our kids have tremendous self-esteem. They think that they are so smart. In fact, we see them on the television all the time, expounding on great philosophical principles that they know absolutely nothing about, because they don't know history, and they don't really understand what's going on.
And they're coining a number of terms now, for example, adultism, which is the oppression of youth by their seniors, and ageism, which is excluding youth in decision-making. So through internet programs, they're trying to recruit young visionaries to be involved in communications, government, and grant-making, and yet, as you said, they're just not knowledgeable about these things. And the idea is to subdue what they call ephebiphobia, which is the extreme fear of youth, and bring kids into the focus and dismiss adults as not knowing what's going on. But they have the cutting edge concept.
I know, I think it's so amazing that in many of our universities, even in our medical schools, they would put a student onto the selection committee so they could grasp the wisdom of the youth as far as picking the doctors of the future. A little wonder we're in the mess we are today. I mean, these children were so smart, they don't need to go to school. And the fact that they would actually put them into key positions and go to them for ideas so that we could, of course, adapt our ideas to that of youth, a youth that has no basis in history or knowledge or culture. You know, we live in a nation gone mad. We live in a society gone mad. There are only a few people who are sane, like you and me, and everybody else thinks we're crazy.
Exactly. And these young people, I know when I was in graduate school, we'd have these group consensus type classes, and they'd have the young ones there who had never even had a day in the classroom, giving all this philosophy and concept, this Dewey progressivism and permissivism ideas that could not possibly work in the classroom, and yet those who had been experienced master teachers had to be instructed and come to some sort of consensus with these youngsters. And as you said, they have no lack of self-esteem. They are into incessant autobiography and true self-love, self-esteem in many ways.
They know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, far more about Marilyn Manson than they do about mathematics. And the great tragedy is we're destroying the mind, the ability to think, the opportunity of our youth. And, of course, we're preparing them for a life of mediocrity.
And see, what's so sad, too, Dr. Stan, is here you have all of this so-called self-esteem, but if you really listen to the popular music today, it's so anguished and miserable and depressing and angry and furious even. And it's filled with violence and promiscuity, hatred, especially for women. And it seems that young people are showing their brokenness in their music, and yet they're boastful and bragging. And feeling as if they're, you know, the top of the game, on the top of the game, when in fact they aren't. And it's a very sad thing.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I would simply point out that our educational system is not education. It is indoctrination. And, of course, so many of our young people are not getting educated at the greater universities. They're being indoctrinated in one philosophy. We talk about the independent student thinking for himself, and 95% of them always vote the same way, always for the more powerful state to give us freedom. They don't even understand the difference between a democracy and a republic. Far less understand the foundations upon which freedom rests. So, Deborah, of course, you've been in the educational field for a long time. Are you still involved, or are you simply spending your time writing and trying to accomplish something?
Well, I'm not involved as a teacher of young people. I do some speaking, and I speak on these issues, and have been working with a group of people who have been at work trying to expose some of the reform efforts and restructuring efforts in education.
But I don't think we can ever change education. The thing is that they have all the power. They have the great tax-exempt foundations behind them. They have the government behind them. They have the politicians behind them. I don't think we can do anything about the educational system. I think the only thing, that if you have a child or grandchild, get them out of that system entirely.
Yes, I think what we have to do is let people know that this is not a game. It's very, very serious, and very clearly it has been said that the mission of today's educational reform is the total restructuring of our society. And with the use of change agents, the idea is to train human resources for placement in specific predetermined entry-level professions with the best interest of the global economy in view. And so that's not going to change. As you said, these things are well-financed, and the teachers are well indoctrinated into the new way of thinking. But knowing about these ideas, knowing about these trends, I think that parents are better equipped, even when they buy instructional materials, to weed out the concepts that would indoctrinate and skew, you know, the mental development of their children.
You know, I one time I sent one of my granddaughters to a private Christian school, and my granddaughter was telling me about one of the books she was required to read in this class, and so I got a copy of it, and it was the most depraved, discouraging, hopeless book I've ever read, and this was in a Christian school, and of course they were reading exactly what was in the public school. And as I talked to the people at the store where I bought it, they said, "Oh, this is a classic. This is a popular classic." Concept of total hopelessness. I mean, you know, there wasn't one person there that you could identify with who had any worth at all. The hero was a drug pusher and a murderer, and, you know, and it went downhill from there, who eventually ends up committing suicide. And this is what they're feeding into the minds of our kids, and the average parent has no idea what their child is reading.
Really, and I think that many Christian parents make the mistake of thinking that because their child is in a private school or a Christian school, that they can relinquish their responsibility of oversight and involvement in that educational process. And very clearly, even in the Christian schools, I have seen that very thing, where the world has not escaped the Christian schools, even, unfortunately.
Well, I really think that they've intentionally infiltrated the Christian schools. There are wicked and even people who are really after the hearts and the minds and the souls of our children. So they've put their change agents not only in the public educational system, but in the private schools, and specifically the Christian schools, because to destroy the soul of a child, what a wonderful accomplishment if you are truly evil. And I believe there are people out there who are truly evil. And I know in my own case, when many years ago we set up a Christian school in Santa Cruz, and it wasn't two or three years into that, where we had already been infiltrated, and there were people there who had targeted the minds of our children. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Deborah Ray. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you agree, if you disagree, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Deborah Ray. Deborah, what can parents do?
Well, I believe that parents need to be vitally involved in their children's growing up years, in their children's education. I think that parents need to be communicators. I think they need to read appropriate materials together, discuss them. I think they need to discuss the news and the trends in society with their children, so that there is a perspective other than the brainwash perspective that the media and that Hollywood and that the literature and that the popular music and all of these different resources that they are bringing forth. And I also think that it's important for parents to show their young people the danger and the damage within the realm of music, within the realm of entertainment. They need to be open with the children and not be punitive, but just to help them to reason through, have the principles to apply to the matters of life, because they will be facing these things. And so I don't think that removing them from the danger is possible altogether, but I think giving them biblical understanding and spiritual grounding so that the kids themselves can navigate their way through life.
But don't you think that so many children are subject to peer pressure? In other words, they want to go along, they want to be accepted, and if all the other kids are doing it, well, they're going to do it too, even though they know it's wrong. Because, you know, children, you don't have to teach a child to do the wrong thing. You've got to teach them to do the right thing. And if they're surrounded with a lot of kids that are doing the wrong thing, so many of them are going to go right along with it.
Right, and we really need to train our children and encourage our children to love the things that are good and to hate the things that are evil. And I was just reading about a Christian writer, Lauren Winner, and she's among many young evangelicals who at one time approved of premarital sex. And I just thought it was stunning that such large percentages of Christian kids saw nothing wrong with premarital sex or even with adultery. And there's something wrong with our churches. There's something wrong with the Christian family when people who proclaim to be Christians and evangelicals haven't the basics from the Word of God on these subjects to be able to withstand the lies that the world is seeking to perpetuate on them.
Well, I think, Debbie, a lot of that, of course, is they have changed the message of the Bible. After the fact that God is only love, God would never punish anybody. Nobody is ever going to have to answer for what they do in this world. And if you accept the fact that God is only love, and, of course, there is no justice, there is no judgment, there is no punishment for sin, then, of course, it is the ultimate triumph of evil. And if you read the Luciferian Gospels, as I do, they will tell you that God is nothing but love. God is only love, and whatever you do is perfectly all right because he loves you. And, of course, this is the message of the church, but we've forgotten that God is not only love, but there is also judgment and there is justice, because God, this is a holy God, and he will not accept sin.
Yeah.
And we've forgotten this entire message, and they've changed the message, they've changed the music of the church today. Little wonder we're seeing the end result of that. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Deborah Ray. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Deborah was just saying that so many of our young people are involved in all sorts of immorality. And these are the young Christian children who go to Christian churches. And where is the church failing? So many of our children don't see anything wrong with sexual immorality. They don't see anything wrong with premarital sex or adultery. They have lost their moral foundation. And, of course, my feeling is the church bears full responsibility for this because they've adulterated the scriptures. What are your thoughts on that?
We've thrown away the word sin. It's kind of like an archaic word, and that's why I base my second book on the concept of hamartia, which is a Greek word for sin. That is, to miss the mark with grave consequences following. And there are numbers of Greek words for sin in the Bible. There's the stumbling along the way. There's missing the mark as the hamartia one. And then there's active evil, and you've referenced that earlier on. Active evil is the kind of evil, it's poneros, I believe it's called in the Greek, and it's the evil that Satan, that the enemy, is involved in. That is, it is wickedness so evil that he is not content to be sent to hell on his own. He wants to take everybody he can with him. And he's as a roaring out, lion out, seeking whom he may devour. And our children are our flesh meat and prime targets for this roaring lion.
Now, what do you think it is? And, of course, the thing is that somebody has to be there pointing out what's wrong with this. Somebody has to be there. And if it's not going to be the churches that are going to point it out, and it's not going to be the schools, then it certainly can't be the parents. And the parents aren't even allowed to discipline their children anymore. And if you discipline your children, why, the government will come in and take them away. What sort of madness is this we have? They had some pictures on the television the other day of a little 5-year-old black girl who was, acting up in class. And she was taken to the principal's office, or vice president, principal. She kept trying to hit the vice principal. Well, what are you going to do with a child like that? You can't discipline, you can't spank them. So they called in the police, and then they put handcuffs on her. Oh, we're going to sue the school why they handcuffed this poor little girl. What are you going to do with a girl who's trying to hit everybody? Well,
exactly.
What she really needs is to be turned over somebody's lap and just paddled until you get her attention. But we live in a world gone mad. Where physical discipline, which is, of course, the what we're told in the Bible to utilize and to utilize and to do, suddenly becomes child abuse, and that's equated with sexual abuse. And the way that they use these terms, oh, we don't want sexual abuse, we don't want to have abuse of our children, and then suddenly, why, giving kids a swat on the rear end, which they would bring them around, or giving them a good slap on the face, why, that's terrible abuse, and it's not allowed under law. And, of course, this is the terrible, terrible thing that's going on today.
Yes, and then on the other hand, you have these people that are completely out of control and doing wild and horrific damage physically to their children, physically and sexually and emotionally. But I know I was raised by a good dad and mom who gave me, a spanking every now and again when I needed it. And I believe that, that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I think that children need to know that there are boundaries. I believe they need to know that when they've crossed the line, that they will suffer a consequence. Because doesn't life teach us that lesson every day? Whatever, we sow, we're going to reap. That's a principle. And children need to experience that when they're young, or when they get older, they'll be completely unprepared for an adult world and life.
And, of course, so many of these young kids are allowed to get away with everything. They get out in the real world. They steal. They do all these things. And then they get upset, sent off to prison. And they don't think it's fair. Why should I be sent to prison? Just because I stole some things. I'm not a bad person. I just wanted these things. And they don't. They've lost all sense of right and wrong and morality.
And this, of course, has been by design, because the plumb line of truth and the Word of God and prayer relationship with God in the early 60s was kicked out of the public school system, and moral relativism took root and hold, and there's nothing that's considered right or wrong except fundamental Christianity is considered wrong. But everything else, children are taught to embrace and to accept, and if it's right for them, and if it feels good to them, and if it satisfies their ends, then they're welcome to participate or to believe or to speak or to think it.
And we live in a very, very traumatic society which cannot survive unless, of course, we get back to the fundamentals and the belief in right and wrong. And remember, of course, that freedom does not come from government, it comes from God. But we've abandoned that philosophy. Here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I guess this evening is temporary. We're just simply talking about education, about this mental health screening that the federal government wants to bring in. Mandatory mental health screening under the New Freedom Initiative. Notice the clever use of words, New Freedom Compulsory. New Freedom Compulsory. And, of course, you get these mixed signals. Well, is this freedom, or is this going to be compulsory health screening, whether the parents want it or not? And of course, what we're going to see increasingly will be that this will be used not only in public schools, but will be forced into private schools, and even for the children who are being homeschooled down the line. Why? Because the children really, of course, belong to the state. It's up to the state to make sure that the child is reared properly. Well, look at so many of the children that the state has been involved in. Are these what we really want? Or would it be better off to leave the education to the parents and get the state out of the educational system altogether?
Well, we sure need to make some changes, but it's not going to be through the restructuring efforts that the Human Resources Development Plan for the U.S. wants to bring to pass, with the federal schools taking, with the federal government taking over the schools and controlling the curriculum and modifying attitudes, values, and beliefs of children from the cradle to the grave.
Well, I think one of the greatest shams of all time was the No Child Left Behind program, which is what you're referring to change the attitudes, values, and beliefs of our children. This was Ted Kennedy's bill. Ted Kennedy couldn't get that bill through. Because, of course, everybody knows what a disreputable, dishonorable cad that he really is. You know, and so we had to have a Christian president to get through Bill Clinton's legislation, to get through Ted Kennedy's legislation. This was Ted Kennedy's legislation. And what the average American does not know is the fact that in the year 2003, the George Bush Library Foundation, which, of course, is supervised by George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush, awarded the Man of the Year award. Who do you think they had awarded it to? Do you know, Deborah?
I don't.
Ted Kennedy. Senator Ted Kennedy, the most outstanding man in America at that time, the legislator, a man truly who had the respect of all the people in government and in the Senate. So people have the idea we have a two-party system. Why would the Bush family give this honorable award to Ted Kennedy, who indeed is a cad? Even his best friends and people who work for him admit he's a cad. Why would a Christian president give that sort of award to Ted Kennedy? We'll be right back. Dr. Stan back here, and of course we were just talking about, of course, the award of the year for given by the Bush family, Library Foundation. This is the George Herbert Walker Bush Presidential Library, with George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush involved on the staff of that, or the board of directors, and they gave the 2003 award for the most outstanding citizen of the year to none other than that great humanitarian and paragon of virtue, Teddy Kennedy. Now, if you find that difficult to believe, that they would give an award to the man who epitomizes everything the Bush family is supposed to oppose, you can go up on Google and type it in. If you can't find it, we've got the documentation on it, and it's included, of course, in my latest newsletter. That's the March newsletter, The Myth of the Two-Party System. But they've got to get the American people to honestly believe we have two political parties, because that's how democracy works, isn't it? Or is really democracy where both parties are controlled by the same people, and they create the illusion that you have really an opportunity to change the direction our country is going? If you've ever had that uneasy feeling that it doesn't seem to matter whether we have the Democrats in or the Republicans in, we seem to be still traveling towards ever bigger government, ever closer to the surrender of our sovereignty, that both political parties want open borders. Both political parties want government to provide for the people. Both political parties are dedicated to the war in Iraq and big government spending. Both political parties are dedicated to globalism and this idea of the New World Order. And if the American people really ever understand how this scam works, we hope that many of them are going to join us in an effort to educate others and then take America back. If there's an opportunity, I don't know whether God's going to give us that opportunity, but our job is to do our best. And in the final analysis, God is going to determine what's going to happen here in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, I guess this evening is Deborah Ray. And Deborah, do you have a website or any place, thing you'd like to get out there for our listeners?
Sure. I have a website, www.deborahraebooks.com. And on that website, I've done some series of commentaries that might be of interest to your listeners on globalism and on the hijacking of state schools. And I think there's a lot of important information there that people need to get a hold of and be conversant in.
But, of course, when you talk about globalism, you're not simply talking about this move towards world government. Aren't you talking about the spiritual forces behind the move towards world government?
Yes, indeed. We've got an issue where there's an intent to supplant the Judeo-Christian faith with a collective consciousness, an occult concept, in fact, that is defined by transformation, and it has an eco-social bent. It has the Gaia worship core. It overthrows all that is of the Ten Commandments, all that is that, you know, speaks for truth rather than lies, and the whole system is very much a part of the education, the geopolitical, the economic, and the religious trends in America and throughout the nations today.
And this is what people really don't understand, is that the major driving force behind this whole purpose, this whole goal of a one-world government, of global trade, and of course eventually merging the entire Western Hemisphere into one political unit, exactly as they're doing in Europe. In fact, the major force behind the uniting of Europe and the European Union is the United States and Great Britain. Now, why would our governments be wanting to actually create a great economic competitor with more people and the potential to be to challenge us for world predominance, certainly as far as the financial increments would be concerned, as far as the European dollar, the EU, challenging the predominance of the dollar as the reserve currency of the world? Because our leaders do not have any loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to this globalist dream. When you understand that, you can understand why the United Nations is in the United States. We are the major financier of the United Nations. We were the major force behind the World Court and the International Criminal Court, even though we ourselves then pretended that we didn't support it, so we wouldn't join it. But if you go into the background of it, it was totally backed and created under the guise and guidership of the United States, and then to placate the foolish people in the United States, we said that, of course, we're not going to come under it. Everybody else is going to come under it. We're not going to come under it. And, of course, who is really putting up the advice for the World Army, and who's providing much of the personnel for the World Police Force? And, of course, we have a World Parliament, and all we need now is a World Tax, and that's what the Land of the Sea Treaty is all about, which George Bush is pushing as much as he can, because it'll provide a tremendous taxing base for this new world order, this new world government. But the average American doesn't understand that behind this are these powerful spiritual forces. Would you want to talk a little bit about that, Deborah? About
yeah.
the spiritual forces behind this, because you've done such great work on that.
Well, I think any student of eschatology, that is the study of the end times, understands that there is a demonic work toward bringing forth a godless new world order. And it will have a one world system of government, religion, and economics under a dictator as never before. Scripture calls this dictator Antichrist, because Antichrist will stand opposed to Christ and will presume to stand in the stead of Christ. And he will have a sidekick that the scripture calls a false prophet. And this is shown both in the Old Testament in the second chapter of Daniel and in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. And scripture lets us know that this big government will likely be controlled by world financiers who will act as kings without kingdom. This is a phrase in the scripture. And they will rule with Antichrist for an hour, That is to say, a predetermined and bounded time span. And this we see in Revelation chapter 17. And I think people need to understand that we have a true, a real, a powerful and very evil enemy that's working not only against Christians, but an enemy that would want to overtake the whole earth and take as many with him as possible into perdition. Satan means adversary or opposer. He's diabolos. He's one who riddles through with false accusations and seeks to himself become God, and that's the lie that he would present to the people in these last days, that we can, as he, become like gods, that we can become God. And this is the new pantheistic religion that's being promulgated through New Age mysticism.
And, of course, what people don't understand is this New Age mysticism pervades every aspect of our society. I just finished reading the most amazing book called Amazing Times, Amazing People. And it's written by a New Ager, highly placed in our government. And, of course, talks about all the other highly placed people in our government who are part and parcel of this New Age mysticism that is waiting for the return of Maitreya, the Christ. And really, of course, the supernatural experiences this gentleman has, a former key government official working with other key government officials, all, of course, working towards exactly the same goal. In fact, what's so interesting is they are all, of course, going, many of them are going to Las Vegas in the area of Henderson, right outside of Las Vegas. And this book talks about how this man was brought there, was told to go there by these masters of wisdom, these disciples of Maitreya, who, of course, is the coming Christ. And as I'm reading this book, I'm saying, is this man mad? I don't think he's mad at all. I think there really are demonic forces out there. I think there really are supernatural things. I think that these people do work at the highest levels of our government, and he's been in touch with David Rockefeller. He's been in touch with the people in touch with Gorbachev, who is part and parcel of this whole movement. Which is why, of course, Gorbachev is one of the most powerful men in the world today. And along with Marie Strong and Stephen Rockefeller wrote the Earth Charter, which is the new Ten Commandments for the world. And people always smile. They don't understand that these people on the other side are deadly, deadly, deadly serious.
Exactly. And Robert Mueller as well in that whole conglomeration, who is credited with having written the World Core Curriculum, which is at the basis of education restructuring. He credits the Tibetan Alice Bailey spirit guide for giving him this curriculum.
Chris, he was for many years the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations.
Absolutely, and people don't understand that the New Age movement isn't just a posy peace movement, it's a worldwide coalition, and it's propelled by this esoteric belief system we've touched upon, and it's united into its global agenda by promoting earth worship and sustainability, which is nothing more than population control and redistributing wealth. Collectivism and illuminism, all these things are a part of this occult trend.
And, of course, what people also don't recognize is that these occultists love war because it brings such horror and carnage and death, and that is exactly what the dark side wants. It relishes the death and suffering of human beings because every human being is made, is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. And when you have a man like Robert McNamara, who sent our boys to Vietnam to bleed and suffer and die for 10 years, but never to be allowed to win the war. Of course, that was never the intention. And of course, he was Secretary of the Defense up until 1968. And then we find, of course, in West Magazine talking about how Robert McNamara is visiting this occult center, La Boca Grande, which is owned by Marie Strong. And of course, there is McNamara and Henry Kissinger going to this occult Satanic Center in Colorado, and then we see Robert McNamara on the board of directors of the Futurist magazine, along with Barbara Marx Hubbard, who is certainly gets things channeled to her from the spirits. Her book, The Revelation, the book of co-creation, was channeled to her by her own admission from a spirit. And of course, she and Robert McNamara and Marie Strong, all the on the board of directors of the Futurist magazine, their logo, until recently when we began talking about it, was a circle made up of three sixes. Six, six, six. They understand, ladies and gentlemen, and they laugh at the Christians across America who are and the rest of the people who are too stupid to see. If you've never seen that symbol, it's contained in Kathy Burns, Dr. Kathy Burns' wonderful book, Masonic and Occult Symbols. Masonic and Occult Symbols, if you don't want to get the book. We actually have copies of the Futurist magazine that has that symbol in it. And, of course, there's Robert McNamara. One of the most powerful men in America, left the Defense Department to head the World Bank. You see, they always take good care of their own, these people from the dark side.
Well, and Barbara Marx Hubbard joined others in believing Christians to be defective seed, worthy to be eradicated and removed.
And she actually talks about that. Anybody would like to see the pages from her book where she talks about the necessity of killing a quarter of the world's population, as it describes in Revelation 6:8. And then she says, but that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, because we are the riders of the pale horse death. So she knows exactly what they're doing. They really intend mass genocide, but they're not going to tell the American people that.
Well, and the father, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. And this whole death culture that is perpetuated through the education system, through the death education programs in the school, is preparing people to accept what they call self-deliverance or the good death.
That's why, of course, they have the death education and the suicide education in our schools today. Why are we teaching kids about death and education and suicide when we're not teaching the essence of history and mathematics?
They want the children to fall right in line with their agenda and be dumbed down. In fact, my own alma mater, the University of Iowa, produced a Model Aid and Dying Act in 1989 through its College of Law, and it stated that minors over age 6 have the right to request aid in dying with or without parental concurrence. And so this whole concept has, I believe, propelled suicide as the third leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds. And children are becoming desensitized to the whole concept of death through their classes that take them into crematoriums, show them grave sites, have them write their own suicide notes or their own obituaries to prepare them for a mindset that is geared toward death rather than a mindset that is geared toward life.
That's really statutory rape of the minds of our children, and it's being carried out with our tax money in our public schools. Till people understand that this is all Luciferian, it is organized evil, they are attacking the mind and heart and soul of our children until they understand what we're really up against, that everything has a spiritual component. Why, we're not going to make any progress. It's amazing how often so many of our listeners, you know, listen day after day, and then we'll come up and say, well, but let's imagine there's no spiritual component to this. Well, you can't imagine there's no spiritual component, because there's always a spiritual component to everything going on today. Wouldn't that be true?
Oh, absolutely. The scriptures let us know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so this is a clear spiritual battle. It goes back to the beginning of time and the fall of man in the garden. And scriptures let us know that we need to be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. And if we are not wise as serpents to understand this battle, we can be lulled to sleep and into complacency, and Scripture gives several indicators that strong delusion and deception will accompany these latter days, and we need to equip ourselves as Christians so as not to fall into that failing.
Amen to that. Well, of course, our job is to try to make people realize what the problem is, and of course, hopefully once they understand the problem, then, of course, they'll realize that the only hope we have, of course, is a personal relationship with our Lord, and of course, trying to look to Him for support. But we also have to reach out to others to try to make them realize what's going on, because there are so many people in America today have no idea, first of all, there's even a problem. They have no idea what's going on in our schools. They really have lost their concept that there is sin and evil. They think it's all, well, this is something you might see on the X-Files. They do not understand that these forces of organized evil work at the very highest levels of our government, of our tax-exempt foundations, of our military. They work within our, certainly within our educational system, within our media. They permeate every aspect of our lives. And unless you understand the true nature of what's going on, or as Debbie said, that we struggle not against flesh and blood, and go back and read that Ephesians 6:8 and, Ephesians 6:10-12. Read it and memorize it and understand that what's happening is not happening by accident, but by intent. Well, Deborah, we've got 3 minutes before I have to let you go. What parting message would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I know that we've had to talk about a number of very dark subjects, Dr. Stan, and I think it's important for people to understand that there is a gracious God who truly loves each and every one, and so much so that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us, that we could receive salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And with that salvation comes healing and deliverance, wholeness, restoration, joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace that passes all understanding. And I believe it's our mandate to buy the truth and sell it not, as Scripture says. And as we abide in that truth, we fulfill the plan and purpose of God to draw us close to Him, to be worshipers of God, and to reflect His very nature in our lives. And it's a high calling, it's a wonderful calling, and I would invite any of your listeners to participate in that calling and not fall into the other camp that is just defined by death and destruction.
And I think until we recognize that there really is sin in the world, until we recognize that the modern-day church has given up talking about sin and hell exactly as the devil would have him, if there is no sin, if there is no hell, if there is no eternal punishment, then we don't need a Savior. And that, of course, is what's been totally forgotten by the modern church.
That's right.
They want to make us feel good about ourselves. But Christians have almost as much self-esteem as these average young people in school today who have no idea what's going on at all in the world.
Yes, and I think the Scriptures make it clear that we're to come out from among them and we're to touch not the unclean thing. And if our music sounds like MTV and if our lives look like the lives of the rappers and the Hollywood stars, and if we're participating in the things that the world is participating in that take us away from the Lord and the love of God and the purity of life He's called us to, well, then we've got a problem as Christians and need to make some changes.
Amen to that. Well, I think that if we've done nothing else this evening, we pointed out to some of our listeners the true spiritual nature of the battle that's going on today. And believe me, the forces of darkness are here. They're working in our government. They're working in every government throughout the world. Satan has a plan to bring about a one-world government, and it is being supported by the leaders of both political parties. And, of course, this is what so much of our education is to prepare our youth to go along with it. Deborah, thank you so very much for being with us, and we're going to tell our listeners how to get your books when we get back here. Thanks so much for coming on in short notice.
It's always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention Deborah's books are outstanding, the ABCs of Globalism, an excellent book. If you'd like to have something that's
easy to read,
give you all sorts of documentation at your fingertips, many times when I'm doing an extensive newsletter, I'll keep that there because I can flip through it and get the name of this one and that one, or the correct spelling. It's a great thing to have, and of course she's covered all sorts of things, all having to do with this move towards the destruction of America. and the establishment of a one-world state. And that's what globalism, ABCs of globalism, and then the ABCs of culturalism does it, the same thing as far as the organized effort to destroy the culture of this country. So both books are available. You just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will want to get the some of the other items we have in the last hour. We mentioned the video, Jihad in America, and it's the story of the terrorist movement in America in 1988 and 1989 and the 1990, when the FBI was tracking this whole terrorist movement, watching what all the terrorists were doing. Well, if they could do it in 98 and 88 and 89 and 90, why couldn't they do it in 98 and 1990 and the year 2000? Of course they could. They were watching every one of the terrorists in America. I mean, they had infiltrated and destroyed the Communist Party in America. They had infiltrated and destroyed the Mafia in America. They had infiltrated and destroyed and neutralized the militia movement in America. You mean to tell me that they were just incapable? All shucks, we just didn't know how to infiltrate the Islamic terrorist movement. Of course they had infiltrated the Islamic terrorist movement, and they were watching all of these people. If you really do the careful studying on it, you realize they knew everything about them. Oh, one book you need to get is called Timeline for Terror. We carry it, Timeline for Terror. And then if you don't like to read, why, we have a four-tape set. It's called 911 Update, my interview with Paul Thompson, who is the author of Timeline for Terror. He lives over in New Zealand, but it's an excellent and very important book. And then my 2 hours of interviews with Jimmy Walters, a multimillionaire who spent a great deal of money trying to awaken the American people to the very real threat that we face today. And then, of course, we hope that many of you go to our website at radioliberty.com. Now, if you'd like to get the items we've mentioned, Jihad in America, the video that was suppressed actively by our government, was shown one time in 1994, and then orders were given it was never to be shown again. And it was never shown again until after the 9/11 attack. Why? Because we couldn't let the American people know the government knew everything about these terrorists, but it's a fascinating video. Must see. And Beck, we even have the transcript on that, but you really want to get the video, and we'll send you along a free copy of the transcript if you order the video. You need to get that. You need, of course, to understand that they knew exactly what was going to happen. But after all, they couldn't have a war on terrorism unless why we had terrorists, could we? And if we'd really destroyed this Islamic terrorist movement before it attacked us, how would we have gotten the American people to go along with a war in Afghanistan? So, of course, we could take down the Taliban and let the poppy fields bloom again. Of course, under the Taliban, we didn't have all those drugs coming out of Afghanistan. Once we got there and we occupied it and we controlled it, there are 351,000 acres of opium poppies. And we can't find any of them. 351,000 acres of opium poppies in Afghanistan, which we controlled, and we can't find them. Do you honestly believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're being lied to at every turn. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Get a free copy of our March newsletter or catalog, or join the Radio Liberty family and help us get the truth out across America. Tell others, pray for America, pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, or I guess it'll be Friday, the next time I'll be with you. This is Dr. Stan. Goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.